the use of no-knock warrants was suspended in Minneapolis earlier this month. That's after the fatal police shooting of Amir Locke reignited controversy around the warrants. Some criminal justice experts say no-knock warrants aren't safe for officers or civilians. A New York Times investigation found that more than 90 Americans were killed during no-knock or quick-knock raids over the span of 4 years. Rachel Moran is an associate professor at the University of St. Thomas School of Law in Minneapolis. She founded the university's Criminal and Juvenile Defense Clinic. Rachel, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
It may seem obvious from the name, but can you tell us what we mean when we talk about no-knock warrants versus other kinds of warrants?
Yeah. So a regular warrant requires a few things of the officers. If they're executing a search warrant on a home, for example, they have to knock on the door, then they have to announce their presence as police officers, and then they have to wait a reasonable period of time, which usually means about 30 seconds, to see if anyone answers the door before they enter. The no-knock warrant, obviously it eliminates the knock requirement, but it also sometimes eliminates the requirement to wait before entering the home.
What reasons do police officers give when they apply for these no-knock warrants, and when they're granted, what are the justifications used for them?
Well, it's usually either related to officer safety or a concern about the possibility that people in the home would destroy evidence if they're given that 30 seconds of advance notice. So initially, these warrants cropped up around the Nixon administration, the 1960s, at the start of the war on drugs. Nowadays, they're more often used in the context of a concern about officer safety. But those are the two justifications, either safety or destruction of evidence.
Let's look at each of those. What do we know about safety issues for officers and, of course, for civilians when these no-knock warrants are used?
They're actually tremendously dangerous, the no-knock warrants themselves, both for the police and for people inside the home. And it's for kind of an obvious reason. If you imagine the circumstance, they are often executed outside of daylight hours. So a normal search warrant has to be done between daylight hours. In Minnesota, that's 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. In other states, it varies. But a no-knock warrant may be, you may also get a judge to authorize you to do it at a different time. And so you're bursting in on a home without giving people time to realize who you are, and you're doing it at a time when they might be asleep. So it's very scary. It creates the potential for violence if people in the home have guns, or if they just startle the police and the police use their guns. And it creates a real potential for emotional trauma, even if there is no physical violence.
I've seen some people within the policing community saying, you know what, maybe we are using these things too much. Maybe they aren't effective. Do you see outside of, you know, people protesting after deaths like Amir Locke's or Breonna Taylor's, do you see within the policing community people starting to rethink this?
I think there's a real divide of opinions. There definitely are law enforcement administrators who are starting to rethink or who have completely cut back on use of no-knock warrants, in part out of respect for the community and in part out of concern for their own officers, because there are a number of officers who have died in no-knock raids as well. And that's obviously terrible. There are also, though, you know, I've spoken about this topic before, and I've had retired law enforcement contact me and tell me that I'm endangering police by suggesting that no-knock warrants should be used less. So I think there's a real mix of opinion.
Talking to Rachel Moran, associate professor at the St. Thomas School of Law in Minneapolis, looking at no-knock police raids. Let's bring out a caller now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I just turned, you know, jumped in the car and heard the subject, and I called. Everyone knew I wanted to call in right away. Really what I wanted to say is, you know, there's a lot that you can say. You can debate back and forth on the merits of no-knock warrants and the effectiveness, endangering people's lives. I think what it comes down to at its core is, where do we set our priorities as a country, as a people? Do we want to value human life, or are we more concerned that someone might flush some drugs down the toilet. And not only the innocent people or people like Breonna Taylor's boyfriend who are just trying to, you know, defend themselves, they're startled and people have been asleep, you know, when the cops come in. And even the knock warrants are barely different in terms of their execution. And I think, you know, I think at its core, it just comes down to that question of where do we set our priorities? Do we truly value human life more than hitting our arrest numbers?
Michael, thanks for the call. Rachel, first of all, Michael brings up the second justification for no-knock warrants. You mentioned the concern that evidence could be destroyed before that person comes to the door. What do we know about that? How much value is there in that?
Well, Michael obviously knows his history. That was really the origin behind the use of no-knock warrants back in the 1960s and beyond. I think it's really anecdotal, the idea that you're more likely to secure evidence if you don't knock. That's a less commonly used justification now because we have more information about how dangerous these warrants are. But it is still the reason that some police officers request no-knock warrants and even obtain them. And so I think I have to agree, when you're judging the extreme dangers to human life and even the dignity issues involved in breaking in on or bursting in on someone's home, just the recovery of evidence seems like a really poor justification for that kind of danger.
Michael also brought up another interesting point the quick knock. Sorry, I lost my thread there for a moment. Quick knock warrants, he mentioned, where the knock and the entry are so close that Michael says not that much different from a no knock.
Yeah, I would agree. There's a problem with quick knock warrants and with no knocks. With a regular search warrant, you do have to wait. Most jurisdictions say it's about 30 seconds. That's still not a terribly long time, but at least gives people, if you have knocked loudly, if you have announced your presence loudly, and you wait those 30 or so seconds, it does at least give people an opportunity to answer the door themselves or to be hopefully wake up and be aware of their surroundings. The quick knock, maybe it's a tiny bit better than the no knock in the sense that you have at least knocked on the door, but it doesn't give anyone a chance to respond or to feel at all safe.
We've got some states banning no-knock warrants, a lot of other states having restrictions or limitations. You used the phrase just a few moments ago, Rachel, the idea of cutting back on or limiting the use of no-knock warrants. What are your thoughts on outright banning no-knock versus more limited use?
I would support banning them. And what's important for people to understand about the idea of banning no-knock warrants, usually people's minds go to really extreme situations. Mm-hmm. Like if there's someone kidnapped within the home and the police need to get in a hostage scenario or something like that, or if there's a hot pursuit of someone who runs into a home. And the reality is, if the police have what are called exigent circumstances that allow them to enter the home without a warrant, they can still do that. And banning no-knock warrants doesn't prevent the police from entering a home without a warrant at all if there's an emergency that requires that. What we're talking about and what people are talking about when they say that no-knock warrants should be banned is limited to a situation where it's not an emergency and the police are simply requesting the judge to authorize them going into a home.
That's an important distinction because I think, yeah, a lot of people do go to that emergency situation. And just to be really clear, that is different than that warranted search.
Exactly. That is a different situation. The police are allowed in certain emergency situations to enter a home without ever going in front of a judge and asking for a warrant at all. What we're talking about is a situation that is not emergent, and where the police have the time to go in front of a judge and request a warrant to go inside a home. All I'm saying is that warrant should be done with a knock, an announcement, and a waiting period before entering the home, and it should happen in daylight hours.
for places that have completely banned no-knock warrants or dialed them back a lot, do we have enough evidence? Has there been enough time to see if people are safer, if they're still getting evidence on these searches?
I would love to know that evidence. I don't think we really do. The states that have banned them, for the most part, have done that pretty recently. Some of the police departments that have their own policies. The problem with this and with a lot of other areas of policing is we require very little data. And so there's a lot of folks trying to study use of no-knock warrants and bans of no-knock warrants and whether there's a causal relationship between public safety and those policies. And it's we have a real dearth of information.
I've heard similar arguments from people who study things like police use of force. Do we need wider standards of the kind of data we collect from police departments so we can understand what works and what doesn't?
Oh, we definitely, we need so much more data. I teach a policing course at St. Thomas and we're talking about use of force. And that's exactly what we're talking about this week, actually, is how little data we actually have and how little political will there has been historically to require police to collect and provide data.
What are you watching for next, Rachel, when it comes to these no-knock warrants?
Well, I'm in Minneapolis. We just had another tragedy here last week, of course, with the killing of Amir Locke during a no-knock warrant. I'm interested in what is Minnesota going to do, but there's a lot of neighboring states that are asking the same question. Should we be proactively, before a tragedy happens, should we be thinking about banning these warrants? So I'm interested in following legislation in a number of areas.
Rachel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Rachel Moran is an associate professor of law at the University of St. Thomas School of Law in Minneapolis. She founded the university's Criminal and Juvenile Defense Clinic. She talked to us today about possible changes coming to no-knock warrants in states around the country.